We're doing Be'ein Yaakov. We're up to page Vav Amud Beis in the standard editions, page 172, it says on the top right. And we're up to, I think, the last word on the third wide line. Ve'idachil, if a person is concerned, me'ein abisha delay, that he's going to look at other people with an ayin hara. Now, where is this very common? A bachelor that goes to someone else's wedding. Ramchal says you don't have a bachelor going to a wedding that he doesn't feel stung at. That's the nature of humanity. So a person is concerned, he feels that he's not going to be looking positively at something good that's happening for someone else. If a person is worried about his own ayin hara, lichzi atalve denechire dismala. The Gemara tells us a segula. How do you overcome this? Look at your own left nostril. Look at your own left nostril. Look down. Look at your own left nostril. And that's a way to overcome a person's own ayin hara. How does that work? Well, we'll take the simple route and we'll say it's all secrets of the Torah. I think there's more to it. I think that if you look scientifically, there's a whole science of where we position our eyes. And the positioning of our eyes is indicative of what happens internally. If you ever get questioned, I've had the good fortune of being questioned numerous times by the police. Part of what they're doing is, guys, it's you who bring me down there. Okay? It's the stories that happen around here, if you're wondering. I get questioned about what goes on around here. So every so often I get called down. So one of the things they're doing as they're questioning you is they're looking for your eye movement, because when a person lies, whether he likes it or not, his eyes shift one way. When a person is trying to recollect something, his eyes shift another way. There are different movements of our eyes that are indicative, and it's natural. It's very, very hard to control, even if you've studied it. So it could be that it could work the other way around, that if you shift your eyes in certain directions, you could also cause your emotions to shift in certain directions. Meaning, there could be a scientific explanation for this, for looking down and to the right, which is what you have to do in order to look to your left nostril. You have to look down and to your right. And it could be that if you're looking at your left nostril, you're looking to your right. Right, you could only look with your left eye.
Your left nostril. You're looking this way.
Say that again.
If you're looking at your left nostril, you have to look down to your right, and then you're going to see your left nostril. What does that mean? Yeah. That's what the Gemara said. I don't know what that means, but...
Because your left eye is further left than your nostril, so you have to be looking right on it.
Shkach Josh.
Wait a second,
where is that? That's
so
simple. Your left eye is where?
Close your eye. I'm still confused.
Your left eye? Ah, you got it. Okay. So we said that this whole conversation began when the rabbis were sitting together and they said, let us each quote something that the others don't know. Let's each say something that the others haven't heard. The three rabbis, Ameimar, Marzutra, and Ravashi, were sitting together and they said, let's each say something that the others don't know. So Patach Idach, the other one, began and said, Va'amal, and he said the following. Man dechalish yomakama lo ligle. Someone who feels weak. The first day it happens, he shouldn't tell anyone. Kihechi de lolito mazale, so that he shouldn't hurt his standing, so to speak, his spiritual standing, his mazel. A person has a mazel, which in some cases is the angel that represents him in heaven. In other situations, it can mean his spiritual standing. So, what we say and what people say about us. Can affect our standing. Meaning, if a person says, for example, I'll see you when I get back from the operation, I'll see you and we'll celebrate together. So they speak positively, that can have an impact. It says that Avram, when he left for the Akedah, he said, we will go and pray before Hashem and then we will come back. So he spoke positively. That's what happened. They ended up both coming back alive, Avram and Yitzchak. A person is supposed to talk positively, and the way people talk about someone can affect him. If everyone talks about him like he's a dead man, so then that affects him. Then in Shemayim, there's an aspect where he's already half dead. The fact that he's spoken about that way. So the first day that a person feels weak, he shouldn't tell anyone. Afterward, because he doesn't want to affect his mazel, his spiritual standing, whatever that means. Mikan deilach ligli. But after that, he should reveal ki ha de Rava. That's what Rava did. Ki ha bechalish, when he was weak, yomakama lomagli. The first day he wouldn't tell anyone. Mikan deilach amar leil shame. After the first day, if he was still weak, he'd tell his servant puku vachrizu Rava chalash. Go tell everyone Rava's weak and bad. After it's already been the case for a day, tell everyone about it, because then people will take it seriously. So I benefit as follows. Man derachim me, those who like me, libaya larachme, are going to pray. They'll hear that I'm already weak in bed from yesterday. They'll take it seriously and they'll pray. There's a halacha in Bikur Cholim that you're not supposed to visit the sick when they're too sick or too healthy. If you visit them when they're too sick, you might walk away thinking he's a dead man. There's nothing to pray about. You visit them in the hours when they just got their dose of medication and now they're under the influence and they feel great. You're going to walk away thinking, he's almost out of it. I don't have to pray about him. So the halacha says when you take into account when to visit someone sick, you have to take into account that you're not being a pain in the neck, that you're being helpful, that it's not a nuisance. You also have to take into account that you'll see him at a time that's reflective of what's really going on, so that you're going to walk away praying. Part of Bikur Cholim is that you pray for the person. So after Rava had been ill for one day, if he's still ill the second day, he told his servant, now publicize that Rava's been ill. Those that like me will pray for me. Umandesanili, and those that hate me, lachdili. They'll be happy. They'll say, oh, great, Rava's ill. V'chtiv, and the verse says, binfolo yivchal tismach. It says in Mishlei, when your enemy falls, do not rejoice. Uvichashlo al yageli becha. And as he stumbles, your heart shouldn't rejoice. Penira Hashem v'rabeinav, lest God see your happiness at your enemy's downfall. Veshiv me'alav apo. And then God says, oh yeah? No you don't. You're happy he's falling, I won't let him fall. Just because the enemy's happy, God will sometimes overturn the ruling in heaven. So Rava said, now, those who hate me might be happy at my downfall. And the verse says that in and of itself is sometimes a reason that God will repeal the decree. So that's also good for me if people are happy that I'm ill. So that's what that's what the next one taught. That if a person's feeling ill, the first day he should keep it quiet so as not to hurt his chances. People shouldn't start calling him sick. Because that in and of itself, in heaven they say, okay, so he's been declared sick. Our speech down below affects decisions up above. But after the first day that he sees, he stayed sick. So then he reveals it the second day the way Rava did. So he wins both ways. Now, we have to know that in the Gemara there are different terms for illness. The Gemara here says chalish, he who has weakened. That's one term for illness. There's mechush, there's choli, there's ke'ev. There are different terms that refer to different types of illness. So whenever we encounter the terms, we have to take note, what are we talking about? Shmuel. Shmuel was a rabbi, a disciple of Rebbe's. He was Rebbe's doctor. He never got smicha from Rebbe. He was a contemporary of Rav. And he was a tremendous stargazer. He used to be able to forecast tremendous things, and he was a tremendous doctor. Ki habechazi chalma bisha, when Shmuel would see a bad dream, Amar he would say, v'chalamot shav yedaberu. There's a verse that says, dreams only tell lies. So when he'd see a bad dream, he didn't want it to come true. He'd wake up and say, dreams tell lies. And when he'd see a good dream, Amar, then he'd get up and say, do dreams really lie? V'aktiv, the verse says, God says, if there's any prophet other than Moshe, I reveal my prophecy to him through a dream. So you see, dreams can be prophetic. So when he'd have a good dream, he'd get up in the morning and say, dreams can be prophetic. Dreams don't tell lies. Okay, so obviously this needs work. What's going on? So it seems that Shmuel held that both interpretations are true. And sometimes a person can decide on his own which interpretation to apply. There are dreams which are lies, and there are dreams which are true. And sometimes our own interpretation can define whether the dream will be a lie or true, the way we saw earlier that a dream goes after its interpretation. So when a person has a bad dream, it's a good thing to say, it's all a lie anyways. And sometimes that makes it so. That's part of the interpretation. Rava Rami. Rava really asked this contradiction. K'tiv b'chalom adaber bo. One verse says God speaks to prophets through dreams. V'chtiv b'chalomot ashav yedaberu. And then the verse in Zechariah says, dreams tell lies. So Rava explained, lo kasha. That's not really a contradiction. Kan al yedei malach v'kan al yedei shed. Depends who's giving the dream. If an angel is the one that put the dream in your head, so then God talks through dreams. If a shade, some kind of evil spirit, is what got the dream in a person's head, so then they tell lies. Amar Rabizna Balzavda, Amar Biyakov, Amar Padna, Amar Binachum, Amar Rav. We have this whole long quote in the name of Rav. Amar Rav Biris, or Birim, Mishum Zakenechad, in the name of one elder, Umanu, and who is this in the name of? Rebbe Binah. So you have this whole long quote. Rav Bizna Bar Zavda, in the name of Rabbi Akiva, in the name of Rav Panda, in the name of Rav Nachum, in the name of Rav Biram, in the name of an elder who is Rabbi Binah. 24 potrei chalomot ayu b'Yerushalayim. There were 24 people who were dream interpreters in Jerusalem. Pam achat chalamti chalom. I once dreamt a dream. Ve'alachti tzal kulam. And I went to each of the 24. I said, now interpret to me my dream. Ma shepatar li zeh, lo patar li zeh. And there was no consistency. What one interpreted, the next one didn't. V'kulam nitkaymu bi, but every interpretation came true, he says. Lekayem ma shenemar, kol ha'chalomot olchin achar hapeh. This is a fulfillment of the rule that we discussed, that the dreams go after the interpretation. And here you see that multiple interpretations can also come true. 24 interpreters and all 24 came true. Atu kol ha'chalomot olchin achar hapeh. Really, do all dreams go after the interpretation? Karahu. It's a verse. Atu kol ha'chalomot olchin achar hapeh. Karahu. Is it a verse that says that? Meaning, the way he quoted it, he said, this is a fulfillment of that which it says, kol ha'chalomot olchin achar hapeh. This, that all 24 interpretations came true, is a fulfillment of that verse that says all interpretations, all dreams go after the interpretation. So the Gemara says, wait a second, is there any verse that says that rule? There is no such verse. What does it mean it's a fulfillment of that which it says? The Gemara says, in, yes, there is a verse that indicates this concept, Uchad Rabbi Elazar, like Rabbi Elazar taught. The great Rabbi Elazar that's quoted in the Gemara is always Rabbi Elazar ben Pidas, the disciple of Rabbi Yochanan, the chief rabbi of Jerusalem. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar taught, Minayin shekol ha'chalomot olchin achar hapeh. Where in the Torah do we see this concept that dreams go after the interpretation? We're on the top of Pei Zayin Amud Aleph. Shneimar, as the verse says, Vayikra asher patar lanu ken haya. You remember there was the butler of Pharaoh, and then there was the bread maker of Pharaoh. And when the bread maker was executed, the butler was reinstated, and 2 years later Pharaoh has a dream. And he says, who can interpret it for me? And the butler tells him, you know, when I was in jail back then, 2 years ago, so then I had a dream, and the bread maker had a dream, and there was this lad there, this Hebrew lad, and he interpreted the dreams, and the way he said, the way he interpreted, that's what came true. So from that verse we see, yes, the interpretation is what defined it. You see, Yosef killed the bread maker by interpreting his dream that way. Yeah, that is one way to look at it, right? 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 So there are midrashim that look at it that way. There are midrashim that ask, why did Yosef kill the bread maker?
Why did say Yosef had a special gift and he found out the truth?
No, but that's what the Gemara is saying. Right. That he had a choice how to define the dream. And he chose to define it that way.
Maybe that's just the way the dream was and that there was a fact in the dream. And fine. Yosef was Yosef and he had the second dream.
Fantastic. You guys all heard him? So now you know that shot too. I accept that. It's mashma that way. There is such a mashma'ut. Tosfos discusses here. Tosfos over here. He quotes a Ri that interpreting dreams is not only a question of wisdom. It's a question of when you were born. Meaning, depending on what mazel, where in the zodiac you were born, will define whether you have this capacity to interpret dreams. So that's Tosis. But now let's put Tosis on pause for a minute. And the verse says, Daniel was very gifted in interpreting dreams. What does that mean? If you learn like Tosfos, so it means he had that capacity. If you don't learn like Tosfos, so then it seems to indicate, like you're saying, that the interpretation of dreams is, can you hit it on the head? Meaning, is there a correct interpretation for dreams? You see here, 24 dream interpreters gave 24 different interpretations. So that doesn't seem to sound like there's one correct interpretation. So that's where I'm coming from. I'm going like Tosfos. But I admit that you don't have to learn like Tosfos. And I admit that there are verses and places in Chazal that seem to indicate like you're saying. And that's why I wanted everyone to hear what you were saying, because I agree that it seems that there is truth in that. That
so Paro had other people interpret the dreams, right? He didn't like them.
He didn't like them, right. Right, but we... I don't know of a source that says whether the other interpretations came true, and maybe all of them were really crocs. Maybe they were all charlatans. Maybe none of them were good dream interpreters. We're going to see in a minute that, not today, but we'll see as we go on, that there were people who whatever they said in interpreting a dream came true, and they decided, meaning the Gemara is going to tell you, Abaye and Rava had the same dreams consecutively. They both went to the same dream interpreter. Abaye paid him his fare and Rava didn't. And even though they had the identical dream, he kept interpreting it good for Abaye and bad for Rava, and it all came true. It certainly seems like it's in his hands, as we'll see as the Gemara goes on. But I admit that there seems to be room to say like you. There does seem to be room to say there is a correct interpretation. And that maybe sometimes it does work that way. But the Gemara, as we go on, I think is very, very weighted in my favor. But we'll see. We'll see as we continue. So, time for our vote.